look while you listen live. Visit wildaboutpets.net for more about the show on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to my show and my discussions at the Chicagoland Family Pet Expo that took place in March at the Arlington Park Racetrack in Arlington Heights, Illinois. I do have photographs of some of the speakers and animals that I'm talking about today, and you can see those pictures by clicking the purple Look While You Listen button that is here on TalkZone.com's homepage. We are looking at picture number 8. And as I rounded a corner at the show, I came upon a very colorfully outfitted dog wearing sunglasses, a grass skirt, and who knows what else. You can see a photo of this dog again on the website wildaboutpets.net. Click that purple Look While You Listen button. Now, usually I don't quite go for dogs and cats dressed up in human clothes. I think dogs should have their dignity, but this one seemed to hold his own, and I couldn't help but step closer to see what the information sign that was attached to the pooch was about. This dog, named DOG, was acting as a mascot for an organization called Pets and Patients. I found out that this is an organization that finds foster homes for the pets of people who are staying in the hospital or can't care for their pets because they are trying to recuperate from surgery or a serious illness. All right, this dog worked. My curiosity was definitely piqued. I had to hear about this place. I found the organization's booth and had a revealing, enlightening, and emotional conversation with the president and creator of the company, Anne-Marie Glaviano. Anne-Marie, can you tell us what Pets and Patients provides?
Yes. In essence, Pets and Patients is non-for-profit pet care for patients. If a patient is going through a catastrophic illness or accident and they are coming into a situation where they're afraid they may have to relinquish their pet to a rescue, or maybe family members are saying you can't take care of yourself, get rid of the dog or the cat or whatever the creature may be, you know, and people wind up in this corner because maybe their recovery has taken longer than a week or two. And we are trying to provide interim respite care for those patients' pets in a private home.
And so what do you mean by a private home? Are these foster parents?
Well, we don't call them foster parents because in the medical community, respite care is understood by caregivers that are taking care of a patient. And we see pets as a caregiver to that patient. So we are offering them respite care, kind of a home away from home, so that they're in a very family environment, and you know, they are looked after on a daily basis, and the respite home volunteer is also communicating to the patient how their companion pet is, so that both ends of the leash are recovering from this tragedy, whatever it is, because disability is not a choice. Nobody chooses to wake up sick or get
That's
an accident,
right.
You know,
right.
And even though we focus many times in the United States on major catastrophes like Katrina or now the housing crunch, people that have significant life-changing diseases such as lupus or cancer or it could be just diabetes out of control. I mean, they have needs that are not met oftentimes, and no one knows about their personal crisis, whether it's a can they return to work or do they have a spouse supporting them? Do they have small children at home? Back in 2006, there was a national study done on young caregivers across America on how many children under 12 are taking care of a sick parent. And if you've seen kids, you will find usually there's a pet in there somewhere, too. So we're trying to offer a Band-Aid of time. The respite home may offer between 1, 2, 3 months of time. We evaluate on a case-by-case situation. And we're trying to network in with hospital discharge planners who follow patients when they come in, social service network, because our PAWS, our PPAWSS, is Positive Pet Action with Social Service. We're trying to dovetail both of these things because it's a niche that hasn't been covered yet.
Very true. So you're saying that, let's say, someone needs to go into the hospital for an extended amount of time or even maybe a week, then you can place that pet in another home so that the person in the hospital has peace of mind that their pet's being taken care of?
We make every effort based on our resources. And if we don't have a volunteer family, we will go on one of the Internet search units like Volunteer Match or Chicago Volunteer Net, place that ad for that specific patient within that zip code and try to raise up a volunteer specifically for the situation. Since we're trying to grow our program partnership with area rescues that are already well established, we will then ask that rescue, if they're in the same zip code, to partner with us, interview that person, do a home check, have some reciprocity between us, and see if they would consider that respite care somebody they'd want in their own organization, because perhaps after the short term of care is given, they now have a new volunteer as well. So it's all one hand helping the other, making every gas trip count. Because like last summer, oh my gosh, you know,
yes,
it was awful.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so you're also saying that, let's say, if someone is just a little, they're home now, or, yes, they are battling some illness or still recuperating, and they can't handle the usual routine of caring for the animal, someone would come in. Would this be a case where someone would live in, or do they come in and visit every once in a while?
No. Generally, because of time limitations, because everybody has pretty hectic lives, we try and transition the pet into the family, the respite caregiver's home. If the patient comes home and is not able to do some of the dog walking and stuff like that, then we have to see what resources we have are available, because we're all volunteers. So it all depends on who's on first and what's on second and what is the need, you know.
Sure. I would assume that your usual animal clients are dogs and cats.
Yes.
What are some of the more unusual pets that you've taken care of?
Yeah, we've taken care of birds, ferrets, guinea pigs. We had one lady that had a snake, and we did have a volunteer, oddly enough. But, you know, it's just we don't know until someone calls us, you know.
Anne Marie, how many other people are doing this, let's say, around the United States?
Well, recently I met a woman quite by just coincident who explained to me that she had involvement with an organization called Paws of Los Angeles in Hollywood, California. And they have been around now, it's 20 years. They're like a $1 million operation. And they have focused pretty much on primarily servicing the HIV/AIDS community. So opening this up to the maladies that exist in everyone is, you know, I don't know how it's going to go, but we know it's a need. And we also ask our patients, any patient, whether we serve them or not, to share their story, how companion animal bonding has helped them through recovery, whether it's surgery, catastrophic illness, maybe depression. Write their story. We have questions on the web that are targeted toward the companion bond, and then upload their home picture. And from that, we draw the candidates that will be our ambassador teams in our calendars and our printed matter. In April, we're launching a store that's going to have our pets and patients patient journal books, so patients can get this book and start talking about their pets, writing down their thoughts. We're going to also have the Epicurean Delight cookbook. We're asking people to send into our website their best recipe, you know, to go into our cookbook. And all the funds from this come into helping us with operations. Last year, well, in 2007, we got a $15,000 grant from Banfield's Charitable Trust.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To seed the mission. And I'm finishing up on this now pretty soon, and I'm going to ask them again for additional assistance. But it has been creating this from a situation. This all came out of a personal situation I went through.
Oh, and I was just going to ask, how did you come about this idea?
Just going through a disaster myself, you know. 9 years ago, I had a life-threatening case of systemic lupus that targeted both kidneys, central nervous system, and we had my dog Medici, a little papillon, who had just gotten 6 months before I was diagnosed, and I had gone chemotherapy for 2.5 years. So that was acute immune suppression to quiet the immune system, and we had our two dwarf bunnies, our guinea pigs, we had our cockatiels, our finch, tropical fish. But at that time, I had volunteered with the DuPage County Forest Preserve at the Willowbrook Wildlife Center, and I also volunteered at the school district. We ran a conservation club. And all these volunteer networks, when I took ill, because I also had two brain infarctions or strokes right after that, I was visually compromised for a period of time, I got those same comments: get rid of these pets, you can't take care of yourself. And I was extremely weak, and the whole process of trying to settle the immune system means you can't even be around your children at that time, much less your pets. Plants had to go. You know, you can't eat whole fresh foods at that time until you're beyond that immune suppressant. Like organ transplant patients, they know all about that. Organ transplant nurses, they understand that need to get everything that could cause an infection out of the area for that patient while they're in that state. So when I finally stabilized, it was like 2002, 2003, we had our animals intact. Some, like the bunnies and the guinea pigs, we did adopt out because getting bit or scratched was not a good idea. I mean, we had help with the kitty boxes and stuff. My dog was with me through everything. And then, sadly, in 2005, he was diagnosed with lupus. And that was what started Pets and Patients. When Medici was diagnosed with lupus, and he manifested hemolytic anemia and then thrombocytopenia, and then this was like, you know, this is like insult to injury, but maybe that's why we're together.
Yes.
You know, he got me through this horrible period of life in my life, and then I was fine, and it just seemed like he was just gone, you know, in a hoof. But he was already incorporated in our logo. Our motto is Pets and Patients, it's all about love, laughter, and healing, one tale at a time. Mm. So we're gathering those tales.
And it sounds like, in a way, you were returning the favor because your pet, your dog, had been there supporting you. Now you found a way to pass this on to animals. And I can see you look like you're in excellent health right now.
Doing well.
Yes, and it's a very touching story, and I wish the best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
And I think a lot of people will learn about this for the first time.
Yes.
If they wanted to learn more about your organization and contact you.
Just go on our website. It's www.petsandpatients.com and send us an email. I have taken our phone number off only because I have gotten calls from emergency rooms at 3 in the morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, where patients come in and had a very ill pet and didn't want to leave the pet at home. So, and then I say, how did you find out about us? Well, an ER doctor heard about you. I mean, it's just, we're networking, and it's what we want to do is create a large web so that when these patients fall through, there's something to catch them.
And Anne-Marie, I think you just captured it. You are definitely, you've captured some great need that's out there, and hopefully many, many more organizations, as you said, will start linking with you, and this can become much more common, I will hope.
It should be in every city where there's a pet rescue. It really should be. You know?
I agree, and thank you so much for speaking with me today.
I'm very appreciative for the exposure. Thank you.
After talking to Anne-Marie, I was thinking how many of us have been in the same situation or know someone who has pets and needed to have surgery or became very ill and had no idea of what to do with their pets or who was going to take care of them. Most of the friends I know that have had this experience begged and relied on their family or neighbors, but we know this is not always possible. Well, it was a great day at the Chicagoland Family Pet Expo in Arlington Heights, Illinois. There were many more organizations I visited, and throughout the coming months, I'll tell you more about some of the additional great services for pets. Did you know there is hospice for pets? I'll let you know when I'll be talking about that. Watch my headline announcement banner on the homepage of my website, wildaboutpets.net, or check out the page with the upcoming shows. I also have a blog page and will make you a deal. If you will comment about my blogs, I'll actually start writing more. You can always contact me and write at susan@wildaboutpets.net. Let me know if you have any questions and what you might want to hear about talk on the show. Oh, just a reminder, if any of you have any tuxedo cats at home, send in your photos of them with your name and I'll put together a page. A lot of people don't know what tuxedo cats look like. They're not a breed of cat, but named such due to the coloration and markings of their fur. I think my next cat will be a tuxedo cat sometime in the future. Remember, email your photos to susan@wildaboutpets.net. Remember, all my episodes are archived, and you can listen to the programs and see all the matching photos on my website anytime you would like. Thank you so much for listening.